For our early service, you missed a real treat, but you're going to get a second dose right now. We have visiting with us today Brother Jett Smith, and he is a first-year student in the Georgia School of Theology. He's a very unusual man. As I told the first service, he is blessed like many of us or some of us, in that he grew up in a Christian home with a Christian parents and Christian grandparents. In fact, he's got the grandparents with him today to back him up. But he gave us a very challenging lesson to start with this morning, and I'm sure we'll hear it again. Two other things that we want to mention because you've had questions about it. One, Bill Horn, our other elder, is away today. His granddaughter is getting married. I thought it was in South Florida. She's in Alabama. So they're in Alabama today, and we'll be back Wednesday night. But they're there for that wedding. And Victor is in Virginia. Not just Virginia, but in London County, Virginia. And if you've watched the news, you know what's going on in London. So he's right in the middle of that, but I can't think of anybody better to be there than Victor. But he will be back with us also, and we certainly appreciate Jett coming to be with us today. So, Jett, if you will, come and speak to us.
Morning. It's good to be with you once again. So blessed by this opportunity to be here and to get to know each and every one of you. The year was 1944. In the Second World War, a man by the name of John Robert Fox. He was in Italy fighting the Nazis. And in December of that year, he was tasked with staying behind in a small village in Italy. The village had been overrun by Nazis, and there was a problem. He was asked to stay behind just him and him alone. Nazis surrounding him from all sides. So he did what a great hero does. He used his radio to contact his colleagues. He called for the artillery to be fired directly at his location. He ordered a barrage of bullets. The gunner who received the message pointed out that the place that he asked him to target was the very building that he was in. And Fox said, "Fire it." He asked to be fired upon so that he could save everyone else. But Fox's act of sacrifice was not in vain. He had planned it, and it gave his comrades a chance to regroup and launch a successful counterattack. When they found him, he was surrounded by 100 German bodies. What a sacrifice that the man made for our country. This morning, I want to talk about our sacrifice and our sacrificial journey. In the Old Testament, we read in Genesis and in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and Numbers, we see sacrifice from God's people. It was how they worshiped their God. And as Christians today, we are in a journey, this life, in sacrifice to our Lord. In Exodus 3 and verse 18, as God is telling Moses as he wants him to go lead his people and to talk to Pharaoh, says, they will pay heed to what you say, and you with the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So now, please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So important, this idea of sacrifice to our Lord. They were willing to go a 3 days' journey to sacrifice. Are we willing to make such a journey? Are we willing to make such a sacrifice? It's stated twice more in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 3. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise, he will fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And again in Exodus 8 and verse 27, we must go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he has commanded us. I want us this morning to have such a resolve as this, a resolve that is determined to continue the journey and to continue it in sacrifice. As we think about being a Christian and the sacrifice that it is, a Christian has a responsibility to sacrifice certain things. One of those sacrifices is our time. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Acts. The chapter is 2, the verses 42 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I want us to take a look at the early church that we read about in Acts and notice their attitude and notice how they spent their time. In verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I want us to think about the early church and what they did. Notice how they spent their time. They spent it day by day continuing with one another. Not focused on their day-to-day tasks. On the grocery store trip they needed to make. Or the coffee run that they needed to go get. But continuing daily together. A sacrifice of their time to be with each other when they needed each other most. A responsibility, a sacrifice that we are to make is our time. Hebrews chapter 13, the verses 15 through 16. Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. The continually offering thanksgiving to the Lord is the fruit of our lips. It reveals the character and the nature of the tree that he's referring to. The lips that are accustomed to singing praises to God. It's showing a declaration of allegiance to God. The sacrifice of continually thanking our God for everything he has given us. How do we spend our time? Is it spent in sacrifice? Is it spent in praising God? Or do we not have enough time in the day to give God praise for everything he has done? Do good and share. Effort is required not to avoid this responsibility. And in doing so, this sacrifice is well pleasing to God. It's continually sacrificing, praising, and giving. How do we spend our time? Are we striving to give to God? Are we striving to work for Him? Are we striving to praise Him, or are we too busy? Hebrews 10 and verse 25, which is just another way we are to use our time, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Our responsibility is to spend time with each other and sacrifice, because it is about the church and about its members. It is not about us. We were not put here to do what we want to do. We were put here. God says, I want you to live a sacrificial life that shows that you care more about me than about this earth. Being with the saints, we're able to sacrifice everything else we want to do. That is pleasing to God, a pleasing sacrifice that we are to make. Just as those children of Israel were willing to take that journey, to worship, to spend the time that it took to make the journey, we are to do the exact same. We are to sacrifice our time on this journey and spend it in praise to God and to spend it with the saints. But not only that, we're also supposed to sacrifice materially. We are supposed to give of our means. I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Shows us great generosity. Starts in verse 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the church of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Even in deep poverty, they gave. Not even as they had expected, but they gave. A sacrifice that we are to make is to give. And it's supposed to cost. In 2 Samuel 24 and 24, it says, however, the king said to Araunah, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, for I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. We are to give, and it is to cost. It is to be of a cost. They gave, and they gave. As we think about a sacrifice, when we take time to give, do we think about what it cost Christ and what it is to cost us? We cannot give that which cost us nothing. It should be a sacrifice because it is telling God, I put my trust in you. I know you will take care of me. And I'm going to make a sacrifice because I know that it is pleasing in your sight. Philippians 4 and verse 18. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. The reason we give, the reason we sacrifice, is so that God's work can be done. It takes sacrifice. Because Paul sacrificed. He spent his time in the ministry of God's word, teaching and proclaiming the gospel. Our sacrifice, let him sacrifice as well. Our sacrifice is crucial. Our crucial sacrifice to give back, to give as we have been blessed. story was told of a poor man. He wanted to get home. He wanted to get to his family. But he was very poor. But he had managed to save up some money, to gather it over the years. And finally, the day arrived, early one morning. He went barreling down, just making the train. He gets on the train. He's wearied. He's tired. He's not too pleasing to the eyes. He walks from car to car, but he can't find a seat. So he stands, he leans up against the car and shifts from foot to foot. Finally, someone offers him a seat. Stands up, he takes the seat. The conductor comes by. Tickets! Tickets! Lady in front of the poor gentleman said, "Sir, I don't have a ticket. But please, you can't put me off. You see, my husband, he's very sick. And we didn't have a lot of money. We could only afford to send him to where he could get the care that he needed. But I was informed just yesterday that he's not going to make it. You can't put me off, sir. You just can't put me off." The conductor says, "Ma'am, I'm deeply touched. But rules are rules. If I don't, I could lose my job. So at the next stop," the man listened. He leans over and says, "Dearie, here's your ticket." He walks off the train. And he makes the journey home on foot. Truer sacrifice you cannot find than someone being willing to take the time to give to that man everything he had, his ticket home to that poor lady. True sacrifice. This morning, I want us to think about our sacrifice. Is it that true? Is it that rich? Is it really a sacrifice? Or can we just keep writing that same old check and it doesn't hurt? I want us to think about if it's a true sacrifice. Because God has given us a sacrifice beyond what we can sometimes fathom. What are we sacrificing for Him? Romans chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there. Romans chapter 12, we'll start in verse 1. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Not only must a Christian be willing to sacrifice their time and must be willing to sacrifice what they've been blessed with materially, a Christian must be willing to sacrifice themselves. It starts out, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do we live out a life of sacrifice? Do we lay it all down on the line for Christ? Are we willing to sacrifice it all? Does our life reflect that? Or do we just seem like everybody else? Just keep on going by. Job, wife, kids, family. Go to church on Sunday. Do we seem like everybody else, or do we seem like people that constantly sacrifice, fully devoted to God? Because it is acceptable to God when we do that. because God is so great, and because of His mercy, this is what is expected. This is your spiritual service, or it is also translated your reasonable service of worship to God. Because of all that He has done, it is only reasonable that we live in a state of sacrifice every day on this journey through life. This journey that we go through is to be a journey of sacrifice. In Ephesians 5 and verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Christ made that ultimate sacrifice fully and entirely. This morning, I want us to think about that kind of a sacrifice. That when we were baptized and we were put into the water, that we said every day, I am no longer me who will live, but Christ. Because it's not about us. It's about sacrificing ourselves because it's about God. That is your reasonable service. That is what He asks. Because this life is not about us, but about Him. As we go through this journey in life, are we thinking about the sacrifices that we are required to make for Christ? We are to be that fragrant aroma to Him. Are we pleasing like that to God? When God looks down on us, is He well pleased? Does He say, my servant is truly sacrificing for me? He's willing to give it all up for me. Is it a true sacrifice? Like that of this mother I've heard about. It was a mother who was living in a tenant home, and when she went shopping for groceries, she had left her little baby at home sleeping. She heard the fire truck go by. She began to panic. She began to worry. So she rushed back to the house. Sure enough, was the building. That her child was in. Now she felt helpless. Fireman volunteered. He said, sir, if it was my baby, I would go. He runs into the burning building. And he saves the baby. Threw the baby out the net. As he did, the baby was saved. And the house collapsed on the firefighter. He was burned to death. Scene 20 years later takes place at a graveside. 20-year-old woman is sobbing softly. Before the head of this grave is the statue of the fireman. And a man stopping by asks respectfully, was that your father? She replies, no. Was that your brother? No. She says, that's the man who died for me. Christ gave it all up. He gave it all. What are we giving? What are we sacrificing? Why are we sacrificing? 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 58. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. This is why we sacrifice. This is why we are to be who we are. Because our labor is not in vain. Our sacrifice is not for nothing. Our sacrifice shows that we love God so much and appreciate His sacrifice so much that they're willing to carry it on by the way we live our lives. Are we willing to continue in this daily journey of sacrifice? Carrying on this Christian walk, daily sacrificing. Will we be pleasing to God like that fragrant aroma? Because a Christian that wants to be pleasing to God must continue in sacrifice. One final question this morning. If they were to put you in front of a firing squad and to tell you to renounce your faith or die, what would you do? You might say, that's easy. I would gladly die for Christ. The easy thing might would be just to die as a hero and go on to that reward. The hard thing would be spending a lifetime in sacrifice to God. This walk, this journey is a sacrifice. And there's a reward waiting. And it is really hard. Even Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, because he knew that daily he sacrificed himself for the cause of Christ. But oh, the joy of heaven when we are received with open arms. This morning, have you done what you need to do? Have you put on your Lord and Savior in baptism? Have you heard the word that he tells us? Have you believed it? Have you confessed that sweet name? And have you repented? But those that are Christians, have we remained faithful to the cause? Have we truly been sacrificing? Have we been truly living a life that shows God, I'm giving it all up for you? If we have a need this morning, come as together we stand and sing.